Blog Talk Radio.
Greetings to you and yours. This is Holy Living Nutrition, where we feed you the nourishment of Jesus Christ, our Lord. I'm your host, Dwayne Brasfield. Now, I know it's been a while since I've been on the radio, and I apologize to those of you who've been out there following me. It has been a crazy year, crazy summer, but I can tell you we finished strong, right? It's December. It's Christmas, the day that Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, was born, and we have the opportunity now to just reach out to those who may want to know a little bit more about this man we call Jesus. So I want to give you the opportunity today to just sit back and reflect on what exactly does this day mean to you. So again, for those of you who don't know, this is the podcast, Holy Living Nutrition. I'm your host, Dwayne Brasfield. Now, this is not a cookie-cutter show, so thick skin is required. So keep an open mind and let's have some healthy discussions, amen? But I am excited to be back sharing the word of God with you today. And like always, always remember, everything that I share is rooted in the word of God, right? And I always back it up with scripture so you can check me out for yourself, because my opinion is irrelevant. So let's get started. Today we're talking about Christmas and the glory of Christmas, that is not just the beginning of Christ, because a lot of times I hear people say, oh, the baby Jesus this and the baby Jesus that, but Christ was created way before that point in time, and a lot of people who are infants in Christ find it hard to believe. They always say baby Jesus, though he never grew up, right? I mean, there are some Christians that don't even want to accept the fact that he had brothers and sisters, where the Bible specifically says he does. But when you don't read the word of God, this is when opinion starts to creep in and you start forming your own ideals of what's really going on. I mean, long before that first Christmas, his story had begun, but not just in various prophecies, because it was over 300 prophecies, up to almost 400, that talked about Jesus coming, but in a divine person, see? Christmas may be the opening of this climactic chapter, but it's not the commencement of Christ. Christ and Christmas are hand in hand, yet in today's society, we separate the two. It used to be a Christian holiday when I was growing up. I mean, everybody knew. We didn't even, when I grew up a Jehovah's Witness, we didn't even celebrate Christmas because it was related to Christ, see? But see, I think what happened was you had a lot of people out there who wanted to play a part, because let's face it, the holiday season and Christmas is a wonderful time for family and friends. And you do this whole wonderful way to usher in the new year, and people who were not celebrating Christ wanted a piece of it. See, they wanted to get in on the action, so to speak. And so what they ended up doing was putting themselves in a position to start forming things like the holiday season, right? I still want to participate in Christmas and get the gifts and do all the things associated with Christmas, but I really don't want to have a whole lot to do with this man called Jesus. I mean, even over the weekend, as I watch people celebrate Christ, it's amazing to me how they downplay the whole meaning of Christmas when his name, Christ, is in the middle of it. Amazing. See, it does indeed mark the conception of a birth prior to his earthly beginnings, but we simply didn't exist at that time, but he did. But it is not so with the Son of God. He existed, see. His coming forth was from the old ancient days. It talked about this back in Malachi chapter 5, verse 2. Unlike every other human birth, Christmas is not a beginning, but a becoming, you see. Christmas isn't his start, but it was his commission. See, he was not created, he simply came. No other human in history of the entire world shares in this specific glory. No other religion could ever claim such. Man has been trying to denounce the Bible for centuries, and many of them end up following Jesus. Because as they start digging into the so-called conflict, they started realizing that there's no possible way that all those prophecies in the Old Testament just happened to measure up to this man called Jesus in the New Testament. I mean, how is it possible? But those who form opinions by not reading the word puts themselves at a disadvantage. See, the Christ, after they uncovered and they realized who he really was through scripture, right, they had to start saying, I need to know more about this man called Jesus. It's funny how the people who denounce Christ are always on the front page, but the people who convert from that are always on the last page. As remarkable as his virgin birth is, his preexistence set him apart even more distinctly than any other human being possible. See, he existed before incarnation. Jesus Christ existed before he was made man at the incarnation. Jesus himself made the claim so stunning and even offended the first century Jewish religious people back in that day. He offended them in such a way, right? It was so offensive that they picked through it at him. This is what he said. He said, truly, truly, I say to you, before Abraham, I am. That's in John chapter 8, verses 58 through 59. And let me explain to you what that means and why that was so significant. Because if you go back to Moses, and when God selected Moses to be the voice box for his people, there was a point where Moses said to them, what should I tell them you are? What name should I give them? And God said, tell them I am. See? And now you got Abraham, who is their father, their true priest, the one that they look at for all the guidance, right? And you have the Old Testament that they read. So they were all aware of what I am meant. He was calling himself God. See? That's why they picked up the stones. Truly, truly, I say to you, he said, before Abraham was, true as it was, this jarring reality didn't go over well, much better when you go to John chapter 6, because he lost a lot of disciples, right? I mean, what if you were to see the Son of Man ascending to where he was before? After this, many of the disciples turned back and no longer walked with him in John chapter 6, verses 62 through 66. See, but unlike every other human birth, Christmas is not a beginning. It was a becoming. Christ was not created. He came. See, in the title, Mary, did you know that your baby boy would someday save our sons and daughters? Yes, she knew. The question is, do you know? But those back in that day who were given eyes to see the glory that was standing in front of them, they didn't all turn back. Their numbers would eventually include Paul, the author of the book of Hebrews, the author of the majority of the New Testament. Remember Paul, the one who killed Christians for a living? The one who wanted to denounce this man called Jesus, ended up being the greatest disciple for him of all time. Paul didn't even walk with him like the disciples did. It ended up being the strongest apostle, the strongest disciple of all time. He came. Christ came to save sinners. In Mark's gospel, it opens up the banner of Jesus as Yahweh, right? Himself to come to earth in Mark chapter 1, verses 1 through 3. He came from outside the created realm into our world to bring God's long-promised rescue. See, the Son of Man came to give his life as a ransom for many. In John, the language of coming, it talks about in John 6:62, is like descending. The Son of Man descended from heaven in John 3. Mere humans don't just descend, right? We don't descend at all. We begin. He descended to us through the virgin birth. Again, Paul and Hebrews followed in the gospel wake. Christ came into this world in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 5, and in one of the most potential or the greatest gospels in summaries talks about how Jesus Christ came into the world to do what? To save sinners. See, Christmas wasn't about gifts. Christmas wasn't about the Lord and Savior just showing up. The whole point of Christmas, the reason why he was here to come here was to save us. Because without sin, there would be no need for Christmas. Right? You see, the ugly part of Christmas that no one wants to discuss, as many hide behind gifts celebrating the holiday named after a man they do not want to know or accept the gift he gives to us, which is everlasting life. Related to coming is manifestation. He was manifested in the flesh in 1 Timothy 3:16. He was foreknown before the foundations of the world, but was made manifest the last times for the sake of you and me, 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 20. You see, friends, he existed before Christmas. But not only did Christ pre-exist that first Christmas, he also pre-existed all creation. It's difficult to imagine the New Testament being any clearer on this account. Jesus was the Word of God in the flesh. John's Gospel opens with the declaration in chapter 1, in the beginning was the Word, where the Word was Christ. See, Christ was the Word, because there's nothing that he would ever say or do that was outside of God's plan. That's what John in chapter 1 goes on to say, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and he was in the beginning with God. All things was made through him, and without him, nothing was made. John chapter 1, verses 1, 2, 3. The second part of the Godhead, you had God the Father, you had God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Human flesh didn't become the Word. The eternal Word became flesh. By him, all things were created in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible. That Christ existed before his incarnation and even before the foundation of the world is finally a function of his divinity. He is the first and the last. He is the Alpha and the Omega, because he is God. Jesus is before, and he is better than anything in the created world and beyond. Better than any gift you could ever receive. The true gift, Christ. That's what Christmas should be about. The gift should be the gift that he's given to us. That's the symbol, not the materialistic nonsense that you see today. Christmas is far more than a celebration of a great man's birth. God himself, in the second person of the Godhead, he entered into our space and into our frail humanity. Surrounded by our sin, he came to rescue us. That's what Christmas is about. He came. He became one of us. God sent God. The Father gave his own Son for us, for our salvation, not for his. He was already sitting next to the right hand of God. He came to save us. He came to give us a second chance. So there's nothing better than Jesus. As a materialistic society marks its most material time of the year at Christmas, the pre-existence of Christ before all creation reminds us of his priority and value above every gadget, above every gizmo, every present, and every party. All the trees and trimmings, lights and laughter, candle and cookies. He came. He came to save us. Surely I say to you, as followers of Christ, this is what his preexistence means for us. He came to save us. His priority and value above and beyond everything else. Jesus is before, and he is better than anything in the created world. And his pre-existence calls us to be a quiet reminder, right? That it is only fitting for such one to be a great treasure in our hearts every Christmas. How can you do Christmas without Christ? But many do, friends, and you know this. Did you know he came to save us from us? Did you know he came for all sinners? Straight, homosexual, male, female, black, white, doesn't matter what the race is, he came back for us. He came here for us, and he's going to come back and get those who follow him. Because simply going to church is not enough. If you believe that simply saying that I am a child of God and I am a Christian with no evidence of a repentant heart, you're fooling yourself. Jesus said that my sheep know my voice. He said that there would be a lot of people that's going to say, but Lord, Lord. And if I want to give it to you in our day and time, it'll be like, Lord, Lord, I went to church. I told everybody I was a Christian. I was a good person. What do you mean I can't go to heaven? And he's going to say, but I didn't know you. See, I mean, I saw you, but I didn't know you personally. You didn't have a personal relationship with me. And because I don't know you personally, you can't come up in here. Did you know that his coming was planned by God centuries before he even had his first cry in Mary's arms? Ask God, who do I say you are? And God said plainly, tell them I am. Remember when he said before Abraham, I was, I am? How can anyone doubt over 350 prophecies in the Old Testament fulfilling this man called Jesus in the New? Even the Old Testament to the New Testament is about 300 years of silence. See, when God makes a point, he wants to make it clear. There's no way you're going to denounce this, because I'm going to set this up in such a way that you have to sit and go, how could that even be possible? There were no emails and no computers. That means that Mary and Joseph had to be in on the mix. They had to be in on the misconception. They had to say to themselves, let's go put our baby in Bethlehem, according to scriptures, thus and so, and make sure we walk our child from infancy all the way up to 12 years old when he's talking to the Pharisees and the Sadducees, and he's having these conversations with these men, these wise men. And let's make sure, right? Hey, Joseph, go back and look in Isaiah. And see, what do they say he's supposed to do next? Because we got to make sure we take this child down the road, because we want everybody to believe that Jesus Christ is our son, that he is the Messiah. Really? God said, tell them that I am. So it's either two things. Either Mary and Joseph was in on it from the beginning, and they made sure they played along from his birth all the way through until he met John to be baptized. They had to play along. They had to make sure they got it right. They had to go back and look at the Old Testament and say, what's next? What's next, Mary? Mary, did you know that he's supposed to do this next? Let's make sure we continue to follow this, because we want everybody to believe in this hoax that he is Lord. Jesus, you have to buy in. You have to go down there and play along. Go see your cousin John. Let him baptize you. play along, Jesus. We want everybody to believe that you are the Messiah. You have to follow what's being said about this Messiah in the Old Testament. Because if you don't follow it, they won't believe it. It won't be clear. The problem is, today, people don't read the Bible. See, the great thing that we have that nobody else had before the Bible is we have Holy Scripture, the human manual that tells us how to live our lives, how God wants us to live, and how he wants us to follow his Son. And he gave us this manual. And we choose to sit the manual on the side of the road, on the side of the coffee table, if it's even in your house altogether. And we choose not to follow it. Too many pages, too many books. I remember putting together a TV stand, and it had a whole lot of little screws and a whole lot of nonsense. And I thought, ah. It had one of those trifold papers, right? And you unfold it, and it was like 8 pages. And I'm like, I'm not reading all of that. It's a TV set. How could I possibly get this wrong? And I started putting it together. I looked at a few of the pictures. I skimmed some of the pictures, right, as we skim through Scripture, but we don't really read the whole chapter. I didn't read the whole paragraph. I just skimmed through a couple of things that I was getting some questions about, and I decided to put it together. And then it came time to put my flat-screen TV on the TV stand and hang it up high, right? And as I was starting to hang it on this TV stand, I noticed it was a little bit off. Didn't seem quite straight. So then I figured, before I put my television up here and it crashes down and destroys my investment, maybe I need to really read this deal. Because I've been hearing about kids getting killed by TVs falling on them. And I thought to myself, no, I'm going to read this. I'm going to read it so I really know how this thing works. The time to read it. And then I realized where I went wrong. So let's look at Scripture. Do we take the time to read it so we can see where we went wrong? Do we go back to the manual, the human manual, to see how we should do things the right way, the way it was designed, right? God designed us and he gave us a manual to live our lives, and yet we don't choose to read it. We might skim through it, and then when we go through the trials of life, we wonder why we can't recover. We wonder why we can't make change. We wonder why we can't have any hope. And you go and you cry out to God, where are you? He cries back, where are you? Personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Taking the time to get to know him personally. He says that one day I'm going to come back for his bride. His bride is the Christian body. It's not a denomination. It's not an organization. His bride, the body of Christ, are those who believe and follow him. It doesn't matter what church you're in, because everybody's not going. The Bible says that he says to avoid the broad road. And I look at the broad road and all these people calling themselves Christians, because it can't be no one else, because these other folks who are not denouncing Christ or denouncing Christ, they don't care. They're not on any road. But I'm talking about those who call themselves Christian on the broad road, right? Chasing the money and the fame, doing what they want to do to make it appear that they're Christian, right? Because that's what society wants to see, right? He says, but get on the narrow road. That's what Jesus said. And you know what he said? You know what the trick of that whole thing is? He said very few will find it. What does that tell you? That means everybody's not going to heaven. And we can sit in churches and clap our hands and do this whole deal. I can tell you firsthand that I was a fan of Christ for a long time. And sometimes you have to ask yourself, are you a fan of his or a follower? Almost my entire life, I was fans of a man called Walter Payton, Chicago Bears, right? I played football my whole life to be like him. You know, I had all his trinkets. I had his number around my neck. I had his poster up. I knew everything about him, his stats, where he came from, what high school he went to. I knew everything about Walter Payton. But if I was to bump into him in the street, he wouldn't even know my name because he didn't know me. I was just a fan. So are you a fan of Christ? If you bumped into Christ, would he know who you are? Do you carry his trinkets? Do you carry the cross around your neck and the cross on your arm and the Christian fish on the back of your car and you walk around and you say all the Christian things? But that people. Because nobody knows that but you and him. You may fool us, mere humans, but I'm not the one that's going to give you life. Does he know you? Does he know who you are? Do you make your presence known with him? When you make a mistake, do you repent and beg his forgiveness? Because there's not one of us that's not sinful. We should be repenting daily. Because unless you're perfect, we all sin. And God said no sin is bigger than the other. And we might want to go and say, oh, yeah, but he says that homosexuality is an abomination. And so is you cussing and gossiping. It's also sin. So as humans, we try to rank sin higher than the other. But at the end of the day, God hates all sin. And the only way we can be washed by sin is through the blood of Jesus, praise God. Jesus Christ, the Savior, takes us to the next level. He takes us to be able to hide behind the cross and go to heaven right in his shirt tail, so to speak, covered by the blood. So without the covering of the blood, there'll be no need for Christmas. Without Jesus Christ coming back to save sinners, what would be the point? There would be no need for him to come here to save us. If there was another way, if there was another way to get to the God of all creation, kissing statues, then what would be the point of Christ coming back if there was another way? I heard Oprah Winfrey say one time that there's just too many religions. There must be another way. No, there's not. Because for you to say that there's another way, you denounce Christ and who he is and why he came. Because it doesn't matter how many religions there are out there. It's which one are leading you back to the created, the Almighty God. We're nothing but mere sinners. And for us to believe that in our own power that somehow we're going to get to heaven and go around Christ, you're fooling yourself. In closing, at the end of the day, God wants to dethrone us from the center of our own lives that we might live victoriously fulfilling his purpose. So what are you waiting for? Find a good Bible-based church and start reading the Word of God for yourself. Don't worry if you don't understand it. Jesus said, seek after him. God bless all of you. And until next time, this is Dwayne Brasfield, Holy Living Nutrition Podcast. Talk to you next week.
G-O-D. God, homie. K-Joe on the mic. B-Flat on the track.